Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. Let's get to our headlines brought to you by Doral Hyundai, home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit us at Doral Hyundai or DoralHyundai.com. As the Panthers, they open up their season 3-2 win over the Chicago Blackhawks. A.J. Greer. And the yes man, Jesper Boqvist, with the go-ahead goal. Those guys all lit the lamp for the Cats. They will be back in action tomorrow against the Philadelphia Flyers. I don't know what's going on with Bob. I was looking at, I think that he's getting either the day off from practice. Looks like Luongo's suiting up today. Not even joking.
What?
Yeah. George Richard just said Tarasov, Daniil Tarasov, who's their backup, and Roberto Luongo are the goalies today at practice. But he also says that Daniil may get the start tomorrow. So we'll see. Easing Bob into it. He didn't have a ton of action yesterday, but as is, when he needs them, and that when things get chaotic there at the end. I mean, it was crazy because the Panthers put so much pressure on them. Mm-hmm. And like they could not get Spencer Knight off the ice. Like they were trying so hard.
That was crazy, right? He was like, and then when they took him off, it was even iffy then.
Yeah. But a couple of clutch saves by Bobby to get it done. And the Panthers start the season with a win. The Heat, they're back in preseason action tonight at 7:30, taking on the San Antonio Spurs. So those who want to see Victor Wembanyama in person, I would go get your tickets. He's fun to watch. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I caught him in preseason action last year. I've yet to see him in a regular season game.
I went to the game and you didn't.
Yeah. And I was at Legoland. It was my son's birthday. That's where I was watching it.
He is tall. Like I'm like, we took pictures next to Shaq, and Shaq's a big man. It's not even close. Like I felt like I was looking at his belly button.
Well, we did take a picture with Kal-El Ware, who's also very tall.
Yes. And
my elbow was in a very awkward spot, so I never posted it.
And Kal-El's shorter than Wimby.
He is, but this was his breaking out game. When he had this game against Victor Wembanyama, I was just looking at some of the highlights before the show. He was a demon in that game. I mean, it was lobs galore, dunk after dunk. You know what was strange looking back at those highlights? Two things. One, Jimmy Butler was still playing, and I was like, wait, he wasn't gone? Because I always think of the Pacers game as his last game when he decided, I don't have joy anymore. How could I show up to the court and have my joy? But he still played. He played in this game. Now, he stunk in this game, but he did play against the San Antonio Spurs. And it was his second-to-last game before he ended up going to the Warriors. But, man, Kal-El Ware, as that game went on, I mean, he was feeling it. He was out hustling Wembanyama. He had the – when he had the putback – hook over Wembanyama's reach. I was like, who else in the league can do that? Like, not many guys are that tall who can actually get over Wembanyama's reach.
Yeah, it was one of his better games.
Now the question is, can he do something today that like Eric Spoelstra will be impressed by? That's going to be the question. That's the true question.
You know what? There's time and place. Like, I think he's going to do that now and early, but there's going to come a time where he's going to need Kalel.
Of course.
And that approach is going to have to be totally different. So the approach he's taking now versus when I need to win games, I need Kalel to be productive, might be a little different, right? But that's just part of coaching.
Schmeathen goes, he's tall. That's the kind of analysis you can't get anywhere else. Yeah, I don't think you realize, Schmeathen.
No.
He's tall, dude. Tall.
You don't, like, even Shaq, we go up to his shoulders. Like, I was staring Kalel, and when Wimby walked by, I was staring right at the nipples.
No, he looks like...
That's just for a fully grown man who's not short to look at another man and you can only go up to there.
I don't understand why they want him to shoot threes. Like, is
Wemby?
Wemby.
I don't know.
Leroy, when he's around the rim, it legitimately looks like
he's just
like a toy. Like, it doesn't, right. You know, I get it. We're in a day and age where everybody has to shoot threes. That's kind of the feel like. And I know he fancies himself like a Durant, you know, like he wants to be cool.
He don't move as good as Durant.
Dude, his legs
are going to give out sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, he moves pretty smooth, but nobody moves Durant smooth for that size.
Right.
Durant, that liar. Only guy who wants to be shorter than he is. This is exactly why, the Victor Wembanyama thing. Guys, I swear I'm 6'8". Mm-mm.
Then why are you staring at the top of everybody else in the NBA's head?
Ridiculous. Brittany, you ever go down the Kevin Durant's a liar about his height rabbit hole?
Of course. It's ridiculous. Of course he's 7 feet tall, and whether he likes to admit it or not, I don't understand why you're lying about
that. Well, because back when he came out, if you said you were 7 feet, it automatically put you at a four or a center.
No, of course. I understand, but...
But he has to be bribing the measure guy. Remember there was a thing during his career where we were like really on to like, oh, we're going to get people's real heights. Because people were lying all over the place. Typically taller.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy's like, hey, Bob. I'm gonna go like this.
I think I'm hurt.
Why?
You're tall, Leroy. You look short and plumpy in those 560 IG posts.
Damn, dude. That's not nice.
Everyone always appears shorter than they are.
Everybody's got a take on the old picks. We are in a commercial in the arena. That was cool.
Are we?
Yeah.
I heard it up there. Coming through like while we were on air. I was like, oh, wow.
It was cool. Yeah, they got the whole FM thing going on there. They got to fix the ribbon board, though. That still says 560.
Hey, the funniest part of all that is a lot of people weren't in that studio or that building when we flipped that switch when we were on 790.
When we had the giant radio come out. That was so funny. We had a, Brittany, we was like back in the day, 790, the ticket got an FM dial and it was like a big deal. Like, oh, we're going to have Heat games on FM, Big Three era, all this type of stuff. And, you know, and then one day we're just like, guess what? You guys are a rock station now. So now we're back. Like we're just, right. we're back where it all started. But it was, we went to the Heat game. And
at halftime,
we had a halftime, a giant cardboard radio that was out there. We all went. I think our programmer, it wasn't Len, it was Todd Castleberry, right? Wasn't he the program director at the time? I don't think Len was there yet. I think it was just like right before he got there. Right. And they're just like, we're flipping the dial. And literally, nobody knew. It didn't need to be there, but we just took this giant radio and flipped it from AM to FM.
And we were all staring at each other going, yep. Wow.
Bit overkill, but it was fun.
It was fun.
It was a fun time.
I love theatrics.
It was theatrics. That's what it was.
Yeah.
It was A1 show poniness, radio show poniness that was going on. So anyway, 6:15 tonight. You'll hear Solana get you ready for pre-heat. And you guys can check that out. Are you on the broadcast tonight, Brittany? Are you producing tonight?
Yes, I am.
Oh man, long day for you, dude.
I don't want, you know, yeah, very long days.
I won't be boots on the ground tonight, so no locker room sound from me today. I apologize.
I mean, that makes my job harder, actually.
I know, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
one preseason game is enough for this week.
I can imagine. Don't you worry.
Do you go to all the regular season games, though, most of them?
I go to most of them, not all of them. I don't go to a lot of Friday night games. That's jujitsu night. I don't like to miss that. So I like taking Tommy to that. So Fridays, you know, but we middle of the week, yeah, I'm catching a couple a week. Yeah. I'm excited about this season. I am. I'm very excited for Jovic. I think they're really going to lean into
him. You think it's addition by subtraction?
Like, I just think they're going to be different. You know, right. I don't think they're BSing with the playing fast thing just because they had Jovic was talking about this. I was reading Anthony Chang's article about like, hey, we had Jimmy. Jimmy's one of like the slowest players in the league. Yeah. He ISOs, he likes to get fouls. And he didn't buy into that stuff last year. They had Terry. Like, I think this team will actually lean into that stuff. And I don't know. I think Jovic is walking around with a little bit different of a swagger. And I like that he's starting. I like, you know, I want Kalel to be impactful too. Mm-hmm. Norm Powell, that dude's pure. I mean, I don't know if he thinks of himself as a go-to A1. I don't know.
I tell you what. We talked about how Kalel's tall and all this stuff. Norman Powell's a big dude.
Yeah, he's built.
Like, you got, like, he looks like a tight end. So, yeah.
He definitely has that build. It was,
Wiley Heat Coyote is excited about the season.
All right, I'm sorry, Dade South. What do you want me to do?
I mean, like, there are certain spots, soft spots, that no matter what the circumstance or the situation is, you're going to come out heating five, right? Like, even till when they finished with 37 wins and got through the play-in, you were still saying we can make the finals.
I know. We sounded like such fools.
No, whoa. First of all,
I meant me and Spo. That's it. Just me. Because okay. Who's doing that too? He's like, oh, you guys should have been on that plane ride back from the play-in. Idiot. Didn't know it was coming. Biggest blowout in NBA history.
So one of the things that I'm looking
for. He was legitimately like, you know what that was? The play-in? The play-in was legitimately the eye of the hurricane. Like, right. We had no idea. Oh, the weather's better. And then the Cavaliers just like tore through us.
Right. I want to see a couple of things. One, they can all relax and play basketball. There's no tension around the organization like there was last year with the questions and whatever. Who's going to be that dog, though? Right? Now, I had a problem last year, even with Jimmy, that there were a lot of times where Jimmy wasn't aware of the circumstances of when he should have took over or not, and they have a damn third quarter.
Yeah, he basically did that two games last year. He gave us, like, all the way.
Right.
You know?
So with that being said,
Tyler had some clutch moments last year.
You know. Still need who's going to be that guy. Is it going to be Powell? Is it going to be Wiggins? You had questions about Wiggins. Wiggins will give you 20 and a quarter and then kind of, you know, no, that's when you're supposed to score 40.
Right?
And so, like, that's what I want to see because, look, they have talent. The hardest thing last year was for everybody to get a definitive role with what Spo was doing with the young guys, with the injuries, with the Jimmy stuff, with Wiggins coming in at the end of the year. The only guy that really just came in and was a contributor from start to finish was Davion.
Yes.
Right? That was it. Everybody else had moments. So I want to see if that's going to be more consistent. I mean, between Wiggins and Powell, I do believe they got to average 30, 35 points.
Well, I heard from people, because I didn't get to see practice, but people who were boots on the ground for the practice said, and like got to watch the practices, they said that
Wiggins and Powell were like the best, most consistent guys every day at camp. Like they just carried themselves as like steady veterans. So I'm curious to see how that all turns out. But yeah, I think this is, I don't know what to expect as far as a record. I could definitely understand people who'd be like, bro, playing again. Okay. I understand they've earned that. I mean, two straight years, but I think that this is, they got some things they can lean into that are definitely more intriguing than in past years. And I think that that's exciting. If you guys don't, well, I don't care. Wild Heat Coyote is going to Wild Heat Coyote.
Oh, me. Yes, he is.
I can't help who I am.
There always has to be. There always has to be an optimistic fan, you know, the one that sets the unrealistic expectations.
Yep. Look, I promise that, you know, if Kalel Ware cooks Wembanyama again today, that I won't overreact. Okay, you know, I won't do that. But if Jovic does, I mean, I can't be held responsible for what I say. We'll take a break. More to come here on the show. We're back after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM as we take you guys up until 2 here on the program. Leroy went off to go hobnob with Jay Crawford.
Jay Crawford, Jay, what do you think of it? You think that we traded Joe Flacco? No, I love you more. No, you hang up. No, you hang up.
It's your favorite day of the week.
I wonder if the Guardians to talk about anymore. What do you think about Donovan Mitchell?
Okay. Enough of this already.
You know, that's just going to be them talking about Joe Flacco.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I find that look, good for them. They got Joe Flacco. They ended up with an extra pick for getting Joe Flacco. I kind of feel bad for Dylan Gabriel in some regards because, like, man, it feels like nobody gives a rat's ass that this guy is the starting quarterback. And it's like this poor kid, he was a very productive college player. You know, does he blow the doors off with you with the talent? No. But, I mean, this guy is obviously they saw something in him. And they were like, you know what? We're going to go in this direction. We're taking him above Shedeur Sanders. And just everybody just cannot wait for him to lose this job to Shedeur Sanders. And it's nothing against Shedeur Sanders. I hope Shedeur Sanders has a great NFL career. I don't necessarily think that if the reports are that he could have gone to Baltimore or other places and would only go to a place that he really thought he could sneak into a starting job, I don't think that's the greatest look in the world. I would have questions about that for sure. But I just kind of feel bad. Like, man, everybody's already talking about, like, well, does this mean that Shedeur Sanders has a greater shot to start now for the Cleveland Browns? It's like, well, yeah, like by just math, he does. Well, what do you mean? Of course.
Well, I just
just can't wait for Dylan Gabriel. I was talking to even some Browns fans. They're like, you know, I can't wait for 12 to be the quarterback. And I'm like, I get you. Like, it's fun. It's more interesting. Like that first preseason game, we were all into what Shedeur Sanders was able to do. And, you know, there's that wow factor as far as like personality, X Factor, being Deion's son, and the fact that he did have this fall from being maybe the number 2 pick to this, But man, Dylan Gabriel's, everybody's just like, ugh, get this guy out of here. What is this guy's an opening act? Just get to what we want to see. All right, Browns.
There was more. I was laughing because there was more coverage on Shador becoming the second string quarterback than there was on Dylan Gabriel having his first start for them.
Yep.
The first thing I saw when Joe Flacco got traded was, now Shador Sanders is a second string quarterback. It's like, we're reporting on second string quarterbacks. Okay.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. We're just knocking down to get to the, you know. And again, he might be awesome, Shador Sanders. I don't know. I found it quite shocking that he fell as much as he did in the draft. And so we're going to be captivated. Like, this does happen from time to time where a quarterback, we don't explain why they went where they went, and we just got to see what they got. And especially when you're a college star coming in, Johnny Manziel, Tim Tebow, you have that kind of you have that kind of buzz behind you, and it's like everything is a thing, you know. And so I don't know. I mean, it feels like, look, they knew what they were getting into when they took it. They had to have known that this was going to be a thing at all times. I was laughing yesterday, Brittany, because Tuesday is typically NFL day off. Somebody tracked down Shador Sanders at a car dealership appearance and was asking about the Joe Flacco trade. I'm like, what are we doing? We have to go boots on the ground to go find Shador Sanders immediately to go get his reaction to Joe Flacco getting traded.
But did he mime this time or no? He had words.
No, he actually answered. He actually was That's very good. PC. He was like, "Oh, Joe Flacco. Joe's the best. I learned so much from Joe."
His ear.
Yeah, I'm sure that they did. I'm sure that his dad was even yesterday. I think he was asked about it. And he goes, "I don't really care about the Cleveland Browns." I was like, "What?" I'm like, "That's a." He goes, "I love Shador Sanders, but I don't care about the Cleveland Browns." I'm like, "All right, that's fine."
The PR team got in their ears. The PR team for their family is working overtime, I fear.
Man, it's crazy.
But like, how do you even say that? Because it's like that just goes to like show that those reports that happen before the before the draft process and everything are 100% true about him. It's like he should, like, Deion had a lot of control in what happened, because it's like you care about the player, not the franchise that he's playing for. That's not like, that's not a good look. Like, and why do you have to comment on that? Like, why do you have to comment on that?
And I definitely, like, when you said that, the last place I think that you're like that you want your son to go, respectfully, because I know the Dolphins are no first prize right now, but I think when everybody goes into the league, the last place they probably want their kid to go or their organization is Cleveland.
Exactly.
Like, if you want to talk about an organization you wouldn't want your loved one to end up on, I'm sure everybody's blessed. It's the NFL. But if you had your ways and you knew he was going to go somewhere in the NFL, you just knew that for a fact, and you could, the place you wanted to avoid was Cleveland. So, because, I mean, like, and I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to tell, look, I'm not going to be a phony about this. When it comes to Browns games, will I be more interested when he's starting over Dylan Gabriel? Yes. Gabriel's a very nice man. I met him in Indianapolis. Very nice kid. We talked about his puppy.
I was just going to say, like, I'm not going to lie. I kind of want to see Shador out there as a starter. I'm here for it. I'll be tuned into the Cleveland games if that's the case.
There's just a level of me that feels bad for Dylan Gabriel, because nobody wants this greatest moment and an opportunity of your life. Nobody cares about it.
I know. I feel nobody, I do feel
other than the
him.
Gabriel, the family, and you know, the team, I'm sure, at this, but like, everybody's just sitting here being like, come on, you know what we want. Do the thing, and give us Stefanski, make the move that we all want you to make. So we'll see. We'll take a break. We'll get into the mixed bag here on the other side and dive all over the sporting world, including a big night last night from your Cats, the Heat getting their new offense going, and some NFL happenings. Back after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. It's Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Got Heat basketball back on the air tonight as the Heat take on the San Antonio Spurs at the Kaseya Center. Alejandro Solana, Tommy Tighe will get you going. 6:15, we got pre-Heat on the air. Jason Jackson, Amy Audibert will call all the action from the Heat's house as the Heat have their third preseason game. We'll try and get you an injury update at some point, because I know that yesterday some of the guards did something around practice. It wasn't like a full go, but I believe Davion Mitchell started working a little bit yesterday, and Pelle Larsson and Kasper Jakachonis did some parts of practice. No Fontecchio. He had a leg thing, and no Terry Rozier. He's got the hammy. I think it was a hammy. Was it a hammy? Maybe I'm confusing him. And then Tyler Hero's dealing with the ankle, of course. But some of those guards are on the mend. So that's good news. I don't know if they'll go today, but maybe soon. Maybe soon we'll get a look at some of the other pieces of the Heat backcourt. I kind of want to see what Jakachonis does in this preseason. All respect to, you know, the Myron Gardners and Jameer Youngs of the world. They had a nice little alley-oop connection in that fourth quarter. But I just want to see what the first round pick. I want to see what he's got on the Heat court. But it is that time of the show where we mix it on up. Let's get to the mixed bag. All right, starting off in the mixed bag, we will start with the Heat and Bam Adebayo, who spoke at practice a little bit yesterday about his role in this new offense. And he says right now, his biggest concern is making everybody comfortable. Here's what Bam had to say.
I'm old enough to realize, you know, it's early, but I want guys to be comfortable. You know, my job right now is really a lot of teaching and making sure guys are in that spot, but also making the extra pass so we get comfortable. But then when we start incorporating the offense, I'm going to shoot the ball.
All right. Well, good. I wasn't like fond of a lot of what I was hearing there, because I don't need Bam to be a passenger princess. Okay. I'm sorry, Bam. Like this is not the team nor the time where I need you to just be filling up your Stanley Cup, having your neck pillow, and just sitting there listening to podcasts while we got other people driving. So I need your ass to get some shots up. That's what I need. Hasn't exactly gotten the drop so far in the preseason, Brittany. Did get a bunch of free throws in the first game.
No, he's been pretty not. I don't want to say bad, but I mean, it's pretty bad.
Hasn't gotten off to an inspiring start so far, especially when we had to deal with like 2 months of this last year. But, you know, I got my faith in Bam that he'll get it going. And I do think a faster paced offense can actually benefit him, that he doesn't think so much and doesn't short circuit and always go for the fade away and all that stuff. I think just put your head down. I think it can be very hard to corral in transition if they actually commit to that. So
he's always been better when he's attacking the basket. So
100%, 100%. Or he thinks he's got. Look, he's done a very good job of putting some good fadeaway moves onto his game and all that. I just think he got a little too complacent on it, you know. So we'll see. And he's always been a fantastic playmaker. He's always been good at getting guys open and getting guys involved. So I do think that those things are very positive, but don't you be a passenger princess, man. Okay, I'm not allowing that. All right, I'm not here for that, dude. Anyway, moving on. A man who is not a passenger princess, because he came to the Cats right away, and he's like, oh, I get to score a lot. That's Brad Marchand. And this is what the Rat King had to say on getting his ring.
Feeling my hand. It looks great. It's a tough time to have little fingers with a ring like that, but it's incredible. The Viola family did an unbelievable job at putting that together and such an incredible keepsake. you know, that we'll have for the rest of our lives and you know, be able to pass down to our kids. But it's unbelievable. It's kind of crazy that every year you can continue to top these things. But they definitely put their heart and soul into it, and you can see it.
Yeah, he's right. It feels like they kind of just kept it simple to a ring, though, because I see some of these rings now and they're like, look, it does tricks. Like, I saw the Eagles ring this year, and look, I'd take a Super Bowl ring, however, but the Eagles putting little, look, the wings pop open, whee, like it's Batman.
Yeah,
and just
like
have a ring.
And was it like the Chiefs that like you could open it and it was like the field inside?
Yeah.
And it has like a piece of the game ball, like in a piece of the grass. I like that the Cats kept it simple. But they are just like, those rings are massive.
Yeah.
And they're unwearable. I'm just like, can we do something that's a little bit more wearable?
I think the first time I remember this actually happening was the Marlins. I remember Jeffrey Loria, who was an artsman, and just like the rings. Because I remember the Angels ring in 2002 was just kind of a normal ring. It was just like, that's a normal ring. You know, just diamonds, has little Angels A. And then the Marlins won the World Series. And like, it was the size of your fist. It was ridiculously big. So it's cool. I'm happy for the Cats. But yeah, I'm with you. Just no more tricks. You know, I like a little bleep talking on the engravement. But I don't need you to have an obstacle course in there, right? This is not Nicolas Cage and National Treasure, dude. Okay? I don't need to solve mysteries with my ring. Deion Sanders, we were just speaking about Shador. The aforementioned comments that he was asked about the Joe Flacco trade at his Colorado press conference yesterday. And here's what Deion had to say.
Cincinnati. In practice.
I was just wondering what your reaction is.
I don't give a damn about the Browns at all. I care about the Colorado Buffaloes. I do love me some Shador Sanders. Don't believe that. I care about him. The rest of that mess, I don't, okay? I'm a coach trying to win just like they're trying to win games, but I could care less of, they traded.
All right. You believe him?
No. He got really angry. I don't know. I just feel like that's such a bad look. I cannot be the only one that thinks it's such a terrible look to have that kind of response. You're trying to, like, I get what he's trying to do, but he failed at it miserably by becoming so defensive in what he said.
I think it's one of these things where I feel like the Sanders family feels some type of way about some type of collusion because of however the draft process went down. I think they feel like they were made an example of. And I think if you know Deion has been so unapologetic in a lot of the things that he's done because, well, he's one of the greatest athletes that's ever graced sports.
Yes.
And as his coaching has gone pretty great, too. You know, especially seeing, you know, where he's come from, what he's built up to. You guys be into Deion as the Dolphins head coach? It's another story for another day.
That is another story for another day.
But I just think that's why it is. And I'm with you. I think that, you know, I think anybody normally would probably go the route of, all right, well, now we got to play the humble route. And that's just not what Deion Sanders is going to do.
No, I get it. And I guess that's shame on me for thinking that they could take the humble route. And I really thought Shador was doing better. And then he came out with the miming. And I said, you know, I thought you were doing better, my friend, but you're not. You're just still the same old guy.
Speaking of trying to do better, Minkah Fitzpatrick was asked about his reaction to the fans' reaction and if he's been paying attention to any of the fan outrage online. And this is what Minkah Fitzpatrick had to say.
Minkah, I'm sure you can figure fans aren't happy right now. I'm wondering if you're aware of their feelings through social media or interactions with them and what you think about that.
No, I'm not really aware. I don't pay attention to none of that. Learned that lesson a long time ago, my first tenure here.
it's look, I don't know if we're in the mood for cuteness right now, but that is funny. That's objectively funny because I remember Minkah Fitzpatrick's mother was out on Twitter just like roasting the Dolphins and how they were using her son, and that eventually of course led to his breakup here. And yeah, it didn't go great. It wasn't great. I'm sure Minkah Fitzpatrick is feeling, you know, weird that he's in this situation of being back with the Miami Dolphins. you see the team that you were with. It's a little Tyreek-ish, but you didn't really want to be here. Like, Tyreek was thrilled to get traded to the Miami Dolphins.
He was,
I don't know.
He was thrilled for the money. I don't think he was necessarily... I think he was blinded by the money aspect of that. I don't know that he was thrilled to be on, like, necessarily the franchise or, you know, the situation that he got himself into. But, I mean, he had a choice in that. That's Tyreek's choice, and I think Tyreek will always have to live with that. Minka, he got away from it, and then he was traded back unwillingly. So there's definitely bad blood there, and I do think it's funny, objectively funny. It would be a lot more funny if we didn't suck so bad.
It would be. But we suck so bad. He did get a pick, though, so that was nice.
I know, I was like, wow, finally.
He did get on the board. We'll hear a little bit more from Minka coming on later on in the program. But, yeah, it is interesting because, you know, it is a shame that this organization right now is in such tatters and they're so bad because it's funny. You mentioned the Tyreek Hill thing, and it's like, yeah, everybody, when they first want to come down here, they're like, yeah, this obviously seems awesome that you're going to be in South Florida, an amazing place to live. You got these incredible facilities. It's going to be a scene. But, man, the losing has made it so toxic down here that you're like, man, is this going to even make this place undesirable to come to? Probably not. But it just feels like it's been such a cycle of big-time names that have ended up down here and that it just goes poorly. And, like, I was listening to a little bit of some clips of Odell Beckham. He was on Channing Crowder's podcast, The Pivot. And yeah, even he was like, oh, you know, I was sold a bill of goods. I was told all this. It's like, dude, you couldn't get on the field. Like, I get it. I'm not here to say that the Dolphins are a good organization, but like, you were sold a bill of goods and you were hurt. Like, we all were sold a bill of goods too, that you were going to be ready to play football right away. And then it turns out, oh, no. We knew the entire time he wasn't going to be ready. The fans were sold a bill of goods on Odell Beckham Jr.
No, of course. We all got excited about that. But I think going back to your point about the feeling like we're not a desirable place, I feel like that's, if you continue with this front office and this coaching staff, I think that it's going to become a place that nobody wants to come to. You have to change something.
Have to. I mean, it's one of those things where, look, this is look at what's going on with the Panthers right now. All right, it used to be looked upon as a joke to go and want to play hockey in South Florida. Like, oh, you're going to go to South Florida. You're going there to retire. You're Yammer Yager. You're going to go there just to kind of, you know, live up the ladies' life and, you know, put some more stats up. And now everybody's, you know, I saw Roberto Luongo came out on Twitter. And he was making fun of the Edmonton Oilers because they were able to get Connor McDavid at a discount. Now, I know it's kind of a prove it deal, but his point was like, he goes, oh, that damn state tax. And it's funny because that's all everybody's like, oh, it's the state tax. Nah, it's also just amazing to live down here. And the thing that has changed is the Panthers are winning and they've got their organization running like a machine top to bottom. And so it's such a wasted thing that the Miami Dolphins have down here. The fact that they live down here. How could you waste something like this in a sport where everybody has come down here? Jalen Ramsey was saying, he's like, well, I mean, maybe I wanted to go there for the wrong reasons because I wanted to live in Miami and love Miami, but they're not about winning. Deshaun Elliott comes out and he goes, yeah, you know, it's the culture down there. It doesn't connote. It's like, yeah, dude, it has nothing to do with the city or how awesome it is down here. It's maybe there are people who are parting their ass off too much. I can't deny that. But this organization being as rotten as it has been for the last generation has contributed to that, not the city.
1,000%.
And go ahead,
Brittany. Oh, sorry. No, I was just saying, I was just agreeing. I was like, 1,000%. I think this front office has done irreparable damage. And that's why there has, like, they have to pay for that by being fired, because nobody's going to trust to come down here if Chris Greer is still your GM or Mike McDaniel's your head coach. I just don't think that that's the case. Nobody is going to find this a desirable location, no matter how pretty the beaches are or how pretty the women are or the state tax or any of those things. People care about winning, and I think people think that they don't care about winning enough to be like, oh, I want the money. I want the beaches. I want this. I want that. But then you come down here and you're losing and you have that, and it's not as fun anymore. And that's what we've seen with every single person that has come through Miami.
It's been very, very frustrating. And we'll get into this on the other side, but there's reports now about, you know, the future of Mike McDaniel, how bleak it is. Some others are saying it's not you know, inevitable that he gets fired. And then, I mean, the stuff on Chris Greer just makes you want to bang your head through a wall. We'll take a break. Back with more after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.